Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. To be human is to endure. Our next guest found her own reservoir of endurance on the Appalachian Trail. She's been tested as a business owner and a mother and an author and as a human being. She has pushed herself in many of the same ways we all do, and yet she's also endured more than most of us will in a lifetime. The first time Jennifer Farr Davis thru-hiked the Appalachian Trail in 2008, she set the women's fastest known time record, completing the trail in 58 days. She's written a new book, The Pursuit of Endurance, Harnessing the Record-Breaking Power of Strength and Resilience, and she joins us on the phone now from North Carolina. Jennifer Farr Davis, welcome to In the Moment. Thanks for being here.
Thanks so much for having me.
All right, I have to tell you, this morning, people are trying to take this book out of my hands. So it's very, they look at it and they see that and they, oh, can I have that? I'm like, not yet. We still need to talk to the author. So it resonates with people right away, immediately, your accomplishments, your life, and then also your thoughts on this. Tell me, when did you sort of know that it was time to write another book?
Gosh, that's a really good question. So I've been hiking very actively for the past 15 years, and this is actually my seventh book, but it's funny, this book feels very different, more important, bigger, and it is about the trail, but it's funny because I knew I needed to write it when I was spending less of my time on the trail, and yet the lessons of endurance that I learned through hiking, you know, 30, 40 miles a day, or just being out there for 6 months straight in the wilderness, they were more important than ever because I was applying them not to trails, but to, you know, having a baby and trying to run a company and trying to be a good friend to someone going through chemo treatments, or, you know, trying to be there for, you know, a family member who's going through a divorce. And I just believe that the lessons of endurance are universal, and that we all have our own journeys. We all have our long trails of endurance, and very few of them have to do with hiking and running. So I think realizing just the importance and the experiences and stories and adventures of my friends and mentors who are so valuable and wanting to share their stories and their wisdom, that's when the book came to life.
And this book sort of begins with when you talk about mentors and this first scene of you sort of in the water with one of your mentors. You know, you're sick, you're just going through so much, and then he's a really controversial guy. And there's this theme that goes throughout the book, really, about what is trail hiking and what is fastest known times. There's so much about this sport or this activity that people don't understand. So I think let's start with a fastest known time and what that sort of means, because it's not, there's no governing body. There's no button that you push at the end to say, you know, I'm logging in this official time. What do people need to understand about fastest known times and the trail hiking to help put that whole concept into perspective?
Well, that's a really good question and a great point, because, you know, another motivating factor for writing this book is that I would read other reports or articles about either athletes who set fastest known times or what the endeavor really is. And it's like, unless you've done it or you're talking to someone who's doing it, I don't think people really understand it, because it's not a traditional sport. It's also not, you know, a traditional backpacking trip where you're out there and things are more open-ended. You can have the picnic by the waterfall. Doing a fastest known time on a trail is a very internal journey, and it has an intrinsic reward. And so you're going out there basically to see, I don't even like to say quickly because it makes people think it's about speed, but how efficiently you can move through the woods. And so you're trying to cover a trail in the shortest amount of time possible. And there's this misconception of people like sprinting down the trail, which doesn't happen. When I set my record, I finished the Appalachian Trail in 46 days, averaging 47 miles a day. But the thing is, I had done the trail at that point three different times, And setting the record, the difference was instead of hiking for 8 hours a day, I was hiking for 16, 17, 18 hours a day. And a lot of the mindset, it's not, oh, how fast can I go? It's, you know, I'm going to be the tortoise. I'm going to be the turtle and the turtle and the hare. It's thinking about just being stubborn and adaptable. So again, fastest known times, are they a sport? I think some people would say yes, but to me, it's a very personal journey in which you are trying to maximize your potential and limit distractions and focus on efficient and consistency.
You talk about the willingness to crawl, and I love that. It really stuck out to me when there's not necessarily a, you know, average, you know, athlete in this sort of, you know, endeavor. But there are some commonalities about personality, and you kind of just alluded to, you know, a stubbornness and an adaptability. Talk about that willingness to crawl as a metaphor for how you approach endurance.
Well, yeah, I mean, that was one of the cool things, too, about this process of writing the book, is I did think in the beginning, like, well, you know, maybe there is a common trait or a mindset or a body type that's really best suited for endurance. And then I went through these interviews with people who were so, so, so different from each other. And, you know, I talked to an expert physiologist and an expert sports psychologist. And what I found is that, like, there's no real formula for endurance. It's something that's within us all. And the key is, again, it's not about who's the most genetically gifted. It's not about who has the best resources. You can't buy endurance. It's just about a willingness to keep going and keep going. And again, you might not look good. You might, you know, literally or figuratively have to crawl. But being willing to be stripped down to that point of humility and still put one foot in front of the other is just such a beautiful thing. And like, there's such a rawness to it. And yes, it can be physical on a trail, or it can be, you know, you just don't think you can ever climb out of debt. You just don't think you can really be a single parent and give your kid what they need, you know, but there's all these journeys where it's like, you just got to crawl. You just got to keep going and you can get there.
The gender barriers that you might expect exist don't really exist, and you sort of have to learn that as well. And you know, so do the rest of us as we watch. You're the first female to capture a fastest known time. That record is taken away from you by a male, and you say that, you know, the next woman that comes along shouldn't be trying to beat you. She should be trying to beat whoever's at the top. Talk a little bit about that and sort of the role of gender in endurance hiking.
Yeah, sure, absolutely. And, you know, I think one of the values of this book, The Pursuit of Endurance, is that it's not just my experience. It brings in the adventures of other men and women and what they've gone through on trail and off. But I do think that the reader is going to be interested in how my mindset evolved throughout this journey because, you know, one of the main reasons I wanted to try to break this record and beat the boys is because I had actually limited myself mentally on the trail. As I mentioned, I've done the trail 3 times. The second time I was going for a record, but in my mind I said, oh, I'll try to establish a women's record because there's already a guy's mark out there and I can't compete with that because those are the men. And I got to the end of the trail and I established a women's record, but I felt great. I looked great. Like, I, you know, women, we hate it, but we keep our weight on better than guys. We need less calories, less hydration needs. Typically, we're built for pregnancy, so carrying a pack is a piece of cake. And it's like, I got to the end of that journey and just realized because of my expectations or because of cultural bias or whatever it was, I had set the bar low. And I knew I could give more. And at that point, I believed then that women and men could equally compete in matters of extreme endurance. So that meant I had to go back and try it again. So, you know, a lot of this journey for me on the trail is about finding the difference between living up to people's expectations versus my potential, you know, and what I want to do is live up to like my potential and my passions. But it's so hard because we're constantly fighting against our expectations, societal expectations, and, you know, community and family expectations. So that's a real, I think, theme throughout the book for me. And then the other hikers and runners in there as well.
Right. Were you interested in conservation and sort of preserving, you know, keeping the trails wild as more people use them and are interested in them before you started hitting the trails? Or is that something that's just part, you know, intrinsic to who you are as a person?
No. I didn't think about recycling. I didn't know the difference between an oak tree and a maple tree. You know, I also didn't think about gender differences much at all before I started hiking. And it was so good for me to get out there because it really took getting out of my culture, my environment, into the woods, having that connection with the woods. And that's why I am such a proponent of outdoor recreation, because I think for a lot of people, that's where this value is established, and that's where this connection to the outdoors is formed. And, you know, when you enjoy something, you want to protect it. So my value shifted dramatically once I started hiking, and conservation became very important to me. And, you know, my rights and treatment as a woman became very important to me because I didn't feel discriminated against by the trail, and I felt like I had equal ability and potential out there, and I wanted to feel that way off trail as well. So it's been a real long personal journey for me, and the beautiful thing is it's not over. Every time I go to the trail, I feel like I learn new things, and I come back someone who's, I think, a little closer to the person that I want to be. I kind of strip off a layer with every hike.
You talk about hiking your own hike, and that also really resonated with me because that's, you know, something people who can't do what you do but just want to get outside, you begin somewhere, and you help guide other people too through your company to sort of explore the woods and start hiking. How do you convince people, though, to do that, to hike their own hike? How do you convince yourself when you're in the sort of fastest known time world as well, that that's an important hallmark for you to follow?
Well, I think it, you know, it's important for people to realize my story, and also, you know, all the other individuals in the book. It's not like we woke up one day and we were record setters. Most of us woke up in environments where we weren't active as hikers and backpackers. That's not how our families brought us up. And so all of us at one point were beginners. And I dealt with the same sense of insecurity, worries about safety, not knowing how to set up my tent that any beginner hiker would go through. And that's where some of the greatest lessons are found, and also some of the best, like, empowerment and enjoyment. And so 10 years ago, before any record, I started Blue Ridge Hiking Company to help get other people outdoors. And one of the greatest, you know, joys is that we work mostly with new hikers, new backpackers, women, older couples, families, and our vision is that the trail's there for everyone at every phase of life. And that's something I really embrace right now because I have a one-year-old and a five-year-old, so there's no record. and they don't care about a record, but, you know, we go out for 2 hours and hike a mile, and it takes a whole bag of M&Ms and lots of bribing. But, like, that, you know, the trail is still there, and it's, like, it's still so good. And hiking is not defined by distance or duration.
And yet with those two kids and your husband, you completed more than 1,000 miles of the Mountains to Sea hike. So, you know, that's a lot of M&Ms.
Yeah. Well, they came along. Mama did the walking.
Okay, got it.
3-month series of day hikes where they did little pieces. And then as a family, we were, you know, doing events and trying to get other people outdoors to appreciate the trails and their natural environment. So, yes, but that was for sure its own feat of endurance, and there were M&Ms involved.
The Pursuit of Endurance, Harnessing the Record-Breaking Power of Strength and Resilience is the new book. Jennifer Farr Davis is my guest here on In the Moment. Jennifer, thank you so much for being here with us today. Fabulous book. We appreciate you sharing your story.
Thanks for having me.